Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. First one back for the new year, 2023. Hope everybody had a good new year, safe one, and hope everybody's got some big goals to crush for the rest of this year. So in today's episode, I want to talk about the five main personality traits and how they affect your training. This is very useful for you if you're a coach listening to this, extremely useful in fact. And this is also useful for you if you manage your own training and ironically, you have the particular personality type to manage your training well. And if you don't, then you should recognize that and actually get yourself a coach. So I want to just start with a quick introduction about what it is, you know, the whole context of what I'm going to talk about. And then I'll get into the actual different personality traits and go through how you can actually use it to shape your own training and shape the training of your clients, right? So there are multiple different models. First, I want to start off by saying there are multiple different models of determining personality types, okay? There isn't just one, and the one that I'm talking about is not the only one. So if you talk about if you talk to psychologists out there, they will name different ones for you. But what I'm interested in as a coach and as a person is making things nice and simple to understand and nice and simple to be able to actually implement. So I don't need complex systems if a simpler system will get, you know, 99% of that work done. Or even 80% of that work done. Like, get it done well enough for me to get the desired results that I want, which is getting my clients stronger, getting them to win competitions, beat their PBs, make progress, stand on podiums, and so on. And so this type of a model, this type of an approach, does that very well, more than enough. Now, the issue, or the reason why this has sort of come about, is because an issue out there that exists is that green coaches out there and people who are not really aware of themselves and who they are will not take this thing into consideration. They will just coach everybody kind of the same way, right? And usually, they will coach everybody in accordance with their own personality, right? Typically speaking, like for example, if you have a coach who is very harsh in nature, very aggressive in their approach to training or their approach to life, they're kind of a no-nonsense attitude, like don't give me any excuses, just get it done sort of thing. Those type of coaches will usually deal with everybody they come across, if they're inexperienced, I'm talking about, will usually deal with everybody they come across the same way, right? That approach will work very well with some of the type of athletes that they get, some of the type of clients that they get that matches that kind of personality type, that have certain traits, which I'm about to go through. And on the other hand, it will not work very well with other types of clientele who don't have that kind of personality type, who don't gel well with somebody talking or coaching them like that, okay? Now, there could be an argument made by some people, even by me, to be perfectly honest, that, you know, in certain situations, sure, a coach may not care, and for good reason. A coach might be just in a position where they know that they only want to work with, for example, athletes who are going to be aggressive about their training, get after it, make no excuses, listen to what the coach has to say, it's my way or the highway, and that's it. That's all the type of people that they want to deal with because that's their personality type and they know how to make that kind of a client win, okay? Or at least get them to the results that they like, right? So a coach may decide that this is it, this is me, this is how I'm going to do things, and you can like it or love it, this is how we're doing it. And then it's up to the individual to decide whether they're willing to accept that or not, right? Now, we're obviously talking about, we're not talking about those types of coaches or clients, right? We're talking about coaches who wish to work with a multitude of different range of clients and athletes, and are willing to be essentially pretty flexible and accommodating to different types. What they're interested in is getting the most out of whoever's in front of them, okay? So with that in mind, we need to understand that coaching is not just about writing programs. Coaching is not just about knowing about how to take care of somebody's nutrition and diet. It's not just about knowing how to squat, how to bench press, or how to deadlift correctly, right? These are all, in fact, in my opinion, those are all elementary stuff. And once you get past a certain stage of advancement in learning programming, being able to apply diet and nutrition, and knowing about the correct execution of the squat, bench press, and deadlift, after that, you are not really going to be doing your client any more significant favors after that particular point by you trying to learn more and more and more about more advanced sort of programming principles and more intricacies of the squat, bench press, and deadlift. Hear me out for a second. The reason why I say that is because think about it like when you are picking a character in a video game. When you scroll over a character's image, you see like stars, right, next to their name. So their strength might be 3 out of 5 stars. Their speed might be 2 out of 5 stars. Their dexterity might be 5 out of 5 stars, right? They have these different attributes, okay? Now, when you have already gotten somebody with their, you know, technique knowledge to 4.5 out of 5 stars, or even 4 out of 5 stars, and you've gotten their programming down pat to 4, 4.5 out of 5 stars, and you've gotten their diet and nutritional guidance to 4, 4.5 out of 5 stars. But you see that your ability to get their mental confidence into gear is 2 out of 5 stars. Your ability to communicate with them and lead them as a coach is 1 out of 5 stars. Which attributes do you think you should be focusing on to get this player's well-roundedness up? Obviously, you're not going to, when you see that there are two attributes there outstanding that are way below average, that they clearly need work, for example, in you being able to coach this person and lead this person to a better place. But the programming aspect is almost maxed out. It's almost like fantastic. It's perfect, almost. There's no point you trying to get that extra little inch when the other two attributes are so far behind. When you are a genius in programming, but you don't have the ability to talk to your client and get them to buy into your idea. When you don't have the ability to be able to troubleshoot things with your client. When they hit a roadblock, they don't know how to get out of that confusion. You don't know how to get them out of that confusion. All you know is your own old ways. But those old ways don't match well with this client's personality traits and personality type. And so this is where, good coaches stand out from fantastic coaches, because they understand that different things altogether are influenced by the particular type of personality traits that a client will have. And I mean, it influences everything, okay? So a certain personality trait will influence how you write a program, which I'll get to once I go through all the different traits with you. It will influence how you may even introduce diet and nutrition for a particular person, with a particular personality trait. It also influences, obviously, how you communicate with that person as a coach, right? How you talk about setbacks, how you talk about successes, right? How conscious you are of their abundance or lack of self-confidence and self-esteem, yeah? So all of these things matter. Now, so that's a little bit of a background, a little bit of a base and an introduction about why it's important as a coach, if you want to be a standout coach, if you want to talk about, you know, the next level of things, not just general programming and general technique and so on, why you need to know these things and be conscious of them, and how you can do this sort of on the fly. Now, there are tests that you can take, quizzes that you can take online to determine people's personality traits, you know, in this five main personality traits that I'm talking about. But as you gain experience, you actually don't need to. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty easy to pick up on as you talk to somebody, and especially as you get to know somebody, you know, your client, as you go on. So the five different personality traits are conscientiousness, neuroticism, agreeableness, extroversion, and openness. Okay. Now, these all range on a scale. It's not like you are extroverted or you're not. It's not like you are agreeable or you're not, or you're conscientious or you're not. You kind of have a range. And obviously, different people have a different range for each of those characteristics and traits. And that gives them their own sort of unique personality type. Okay? And based on the different combinations of things that you see and you can observe, you can make a decision as to what kind of a direction you want to go with this person. So let's hop right into it and actually give you some proper examples using each of those traits. So conscientiousness, firstly, what is it? So a person who ranks high in conscientiousness is somebody who likes to plan ahead. They like to know what's going on. They like to be organized, right? So if you have a client who is conscientious, who ranks high, what do you think that is going to mean in regards to you communicating with them? These are not the type of clients who, you know, when Monday rolls around and they need a new program and they're training, say, first thing in the morning, they don't want you to send their program on Monday morning, half an hour before their training. Typically, this is the type of person who likes to get the program, you know, 24 hours before, for example, so they can look over it, ask questions, be organized about it, right? Very likely, you will need to explain things about the program to them in a little bit more detail about certain things, right? Things that you may feel, you know, as a coach who is not very conscientious, right, with your own personality trait, you may feel, oh, that's not a big deal. That's pretty self-explanatory even, right? But it may not be to them because they rank high on the scale of conscientiousness, right? Somebody who's low, who's on the other side, well, obviously the opposite of that. They don't really need, they're not, generally speaking, they're not really organized people. They don't care too much about organization and planning ahead. They can be a little bit more spontaneous, right? And so you can maybe, in cases like that, I'm not saying you should, but you can maybe do a program for this person and send it to them half an hour before their session, and they're good to go. They will open it, see the program, they just follow along, no problem, okay? So that's something to consider in regards to their program and obviously their diet, right? They might need to actually talk about their goals. Maybe they like to talk about their goals, sit down and actually talk, you know, a month ahead, 2 months ahead, of 12 weeks ahead, of how is training going to pan out for me? Can you outline things to me? Can you tell me at least the gist of where we're going, how we're going there, what things we can expect along the way, how I need to plan my life in the next 12 weeks for this training cycle, and so on and so forth. Obviously, look, these are a little bit extreme, right? I'm just going to one end just to be able to give you guys an example of what that may look like. Typically, obviously, most people are middle of the bell curve. So they're not really this extreme or the opposite extreme. They're somewhere in the middle. But just to be able to give you a good solid understanding of what we're talking about here. So that's the type of thing you may need to keep in mind if you notice that somebody ranks high in conscientiousness. How do you know if somebody ranks high? Well, it's through the things that you may pass through in conversations, or you may even ask questions during the initial period when somebody joins with you as a client, right? As a lifter. In the initial periods, you may ask them questions that start to give you an idea of these things, right? So for example, you can ask them something very simple, like, how organized are you as a person? Do you like to plan out an itinerary when you go on a trip? Do you need to know exactly where things are and what day you're going to be at what location, which tourist site you want to visit and for how many hours? Take me through that, you know? So a question as simple as that could give you a little bit of an idea. Then you maybe ask another similar question, but in a different way. And maybe a third similar question, but in a different way. And you know, you average out that answer and you see, okay, well, this person is maybe pretty high on the conscientious level. Like they need me to explain things to them and they want to know what's going on and sort of at all times. They're highly organized, okay? Also keep in mind that all of these different personality traits kind of overlap. It's not like a trait. Somebody who's, for example, neurotic could also be very introverted, right? So it ranks low in extroversion, right? Which means they're introverted. So just understand that there's going to be some overlap in some of the traits, okay? But that's a good thing in a way because it sort of knocks out firstly two birds with one stone sometimes, but also it can confirm certain things for you, yeah? It can confirm certain suspicions for you. So next one, let's go on to the next trait, neuroticism. So people who rank high in neurotic traits are generally people who are a little bit more unstable emotionally. They tend to get upset or sad or depressed more easily. And for that reason, they will obviously need a particular way of communicating, especially the communication part, right? The choice of words that you use, the aggressiveness of your maybe tonality. You know, some people just have naturally aggressive tonalities, right? They don't mean anything by it. Some coaches, they just naturally like that. That's their personality trait. But to be conscious of that, to not set off any neurotic tendencies, you may want to be a little bit more careful in some of the choice of words that you use, right? Maybe some things that you say might paint a picture about the future that may cause them some anxiety. Now, that doesn't mean that they should stay neurotic and they will stay neurotic forever and ever. Maybe that's a cue for you to work a little bit more, focus a little bit more on developing this person's self-esteem and self-confidence, right? Their general confidence towards their abilities. That's something that needs more direct, deliberate work, as opposed to somebody who ranks very low in the neurotic trait. Oh, the opposite, right? So somebody who's very emotionally stable, pretty confident, pretty upbeat, pretty happy all the time, sees the good perspective in things, and so on. And so that person, obviously, again, would need a different approach as far as coaching communication is concerned, right? Maybe they don't get they don't beat themselves up so much when it comes to if they make a mistake, you know what I mean? Maybe they don't associate powerlifting too much with who they are, which is the right thing to do, right? You are not a powerlifter, you are you. Powerlifting is something that you do, right? So somebody who ranks low in neurotic traits might naturally be more like that, which is a great thing, okay? And So for example, when it comes to programming for somebody who ranks high in the trade, you may be a little bit careful about how much the program pushes them to push their limits. Yeah, when you do push their limits, how much you push their limits? How much are you getting them to do? For example, just as an example, a top single, a top heavy single, when they already have a little bit of a maybe confidence issues with a lift. Right? What if they miss? Maybe you need to control that a little bit. Maybe instead of telling them to do a single at an 8 RPE, knowing that they may overshoot it and stuff it up, maybe you need to give them an actual weight, an actual number. Maybe you need to give them an actual percentage. Maybe. I don't know. This coaching is art as much as it is science, but it's just something for you to think about. Yeah? How you talk to them after they do something successfully to boost their confidence is something for you to consider. These all play a massive role. And obviously somebody who's on the other end of the spectrum, well, they're usually more abundant in self-confidence, right? And things can tend to, admittedly, flow a little bit easier for them. That doesn't mean that somebody who ranks high in the neurotic trait cannot be a great lifter. Absolutely not. It's just about how you address them and interact with them and coach them as a coach. And that's what it ultimately comes down to, right? There is the actual point of the craft of coaching. Next one is agreeableness. So somebody who ranks high in this trait, generally, as the name suggests, tends to be more I don't want to confuse this with openness, but generally tends to be more open to going along with what you have to say, what you have to suggest, right? They generally tend to be the type of people who want to help others, who want to contribute, who are quote-unquote nice guys or nice girls, right? These are the types of people that are more agreeable in nature. They tend to, again, as the name suggests, be more agreeable to a change in the program in some way. They are sometimes, even if they don't really like it deep down. And that's why you need to be conscious of that, right? So if you feel like somebody's agreeable, you may make a suggestion about something, whether it's diet or training or program or whatever, and they don't really feel comfortable with that decision, with that suggestion, but they won't really say anything because they want to be nice. They want to be accommodating. And so you have to be able to pick up on certain cues, whether it's in body language or facial expression or the way they respond, to understand that, hey, maybe they didn't actually really mean yes when they said yes. That maybe they really actually meant no, right? So that's something to keep in mind. And obviously somebody who's on the other end of the spectrum with the agreeableness trait tends to not be very agreeable. They generally don't care about other people. They usually care about themselves. They don't consider other people, generally speaking, and they don't really have a cooperative nature. These people, obviously, truth be told, can be a big pain in the ass for a coach, right? Unless they get buy-in from or the coach gets them to get buy-in in other means, where they just kind of look up only to the coach, and everybody else can sort of piss off, right? So just keep that in mind. It's just something that you may need to consider about how you communicate. And even if you want to even deal with this person, right? Even if you want to, let's face it, we don't want to work with every single client that walks through our doors, right? Some people are just a big pain in the ass and they're just more effort than they're worth. And frankly, you shouldn't take on every single client that comes to you. Some people are just too far outside your spectrum of your own personality traits, right? It can be draining as a coach to service certain types of people, okay? Now, next one is extroversion, right? So somebody, as the name suggests, if somebody ranks high, it's usually outgoing, very upbeat, very positive, social. They feed off energy and the energy of people around them. They, in fact, they do best when there are people around. So for somebody like this, for example, to get the best out of them, maybe you need to get them to train if possible when the gym is packed, right? When all the boys are around, or when all the girls are around, all the friends are around, all their mates are around. Maybe not even mates, maybe just people to watch them, right? To watch them do their thing. They feed off that. They like it when people see them do a heavy lift. They're extroverted, right? They have energy. They're just bouncing off the walls all the time. And they perform best, even sometimes in competition scenarios and settings. They really perform good in competition scenarios because they like that social aspect. They like being in front of and around people. And then on the opposite end, if somebody's introverted, they actually tend to feel drained if they're around people too much. They don't like to often train when it's really busy. They will pick times to go to the gym when there's barely anybody there. They will prefer to have their headphones on so nobody talks to them, right? Or people talk to them sort of, you know, in a controlled manner at least. So that also ties in. And again, just keep an eye out for links to other traits. Like I said, somebody who's very introverted could also likely be, but not guaranteed, but very likely be also neurotic, right? This is not just, I want to make sure I get this across clearly. This is not a direct relationship. It's not a some sort of a, you know, direct correlation. I'm just saying it is very possible that somebody who is very introverted could also be very neurotic. So just keep an eye out for relationships between different traits, okay? So it makes it easier for you to make a decision about the program or the coaching style, the communication and the leadership that you employ with somebody, both in training as well as even especially on competition day, right? Somebody's introverted, likes to just sit in a corner, face the wall and just be called when he's two people out from when he's got to do his attempt on the squat, bench press or deadlift, right? Somebody who is extroverted likes to do their attempt, talk about it with other people around them in the warm-up area. They're just bouncing around, like talking from person to person. They've got friends there lifting on the day, or they've already made friends when they turned up and did their weigh-in or whatever, right? That's how they feel confident and comfortable in that competition scenario. If you got that person to actually sit in a corner and not talk to anybody, they would probably actually feel worse. And their performance might drop for the day on a competition day. And finally, you got openness. So somebody who ranks high in openness generally is, as the name suggests, is open to new things, is open to experiment. They're usually a little bit more, spontaneous, right? They are happy to give things a crack and see what happens, right? They're more adventurous in nature. So that means that if you're going to write a program for them, if you've thought about a new concept, a new way to change their program because you read about it or saw it on YouTube or whatever, and you feel like this is going to maybe get them some benefit, you could very easily suggest this to your client. Hey, Jimmy, I just found out about this particular way to do high frequency squatting. I think you'd really benefit from this. I just got a hunch that you really benefit from this. Would you like to give it a crack? I reckon we should give it a crack for like 6 to 8 weeks and see how much your squat improves. And Jimmy will be like, hell yeah, man, let's get it done. Let's get after it, right? Somebody who ranks high in openness is maybe a little bit more open to doing different competitions, right? Just jumping in and having a go. They tend to be, they tend to have that kind of personality characteristic. And conversely, somebody low on the openness scale doesn't really want to experiment with things, right? They like things the way it is, and they are hesitant to make changes to a program, especially if things are already working well. They don't want to go for risky attempts on competition day often, right? They're not open to that idea. They want to do what was planned and stick to that plan sort of thing, or even if it's not a plan, like they may be a little bit more reluctant to take a risk, right? And again, you may find that somebody who ranks low in openness ranks high in conscientiousness. You may find that those two are sort of related for some clients and some people that you come across. So guys, those are the five main personality traits. If you want to get to the next level with your clients as a coach, if you want to really guide them and coach them and not just write programs or diets or teach them how to do a squat, bench press or deadlift or any other lift for that matter properly, then you need to be able to lead. As a coach, your job is to solve problems, to be creative and to lead people to new heights. And in order to be able to lead, you need to, like a good leader, molds himself around the people that is on his or her team in order to be able to get credibility, get buy-in, and get people to ultimately trust him or her so that they can follow him or her to new places, to new frontiers, right? To the promised land. I hope that helps out, guys. All of this stuff I actually talk about in depth, plus much more things on, obviously, not only programming and diet and nutrition and technique, but also coaching ability and leadership ability, as well as business development in the Adonis Athletics Powerlifting Coaches Mentorship course. I'm going to launch another intake in probably late January. So if you're interested in getting some information about that course, just shoot me an email to amir@adonisathletics.com.au or just add me on Instagram, the_sportperformancecoach, and just shoot me a DM and I'll give you some more information about the course. And looking forward to maybe having you on. Until the next one, guys.